We're going to bring on our friend, Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so I'm going to read the story to you and give me your thoughts. A bride has revealed how her husband suffered a traumatic brain injury on the night of their wedding reception. It's Kelsey and her husband, Mike. The pair eloped in September 2022, wanted to celebrate with their friends and family, so they had a reception in October. Everybody's out on the dance floor. Mike attempts his party trick.
No.
Which is a backflip on the dance floor that he typically lands.
Typically. Right. 9 times out of 10.
You know, normally he lands this one.
Normally, right. Well, he did land, just landed wrong.
That's true.
He didn't like go up the air and stay. Oh,
he landed it.
Mike.
Just not on his feet.
Right.
So he slipped on the floor because there were drinks spilt and he was wearing dress shoes.
That happens.
Bad conditions for landing.
I have been there.
I can't believe, though, he didn't do the math on this. Like, I'm going to flip.
Well, he probably had a couple of pops himself.
Right, you're feeling invincible.
Exactly. Well, I can do this.
I'm sure Dr. Ron has some stories on this coming up.
Right.
Kelsey said Mike injured his head.
Oh, you think?
Mike was rushed to the hospital and put into an emergency surgery called a craniectomy.
Oh my God.
Oh.
What is that?
It sounds made up.
Wasn't that what Danny did at the end of Karate Kid?
The craniectomy is when you remove the skull. So that's the problem. When he did this backflip, it sounds like he shorted it and, you know, got about halfway and hit his head. There's a lot of head trauma in the ER, but a craniectomy is where you take a piece of the skull off to allow for swelling or to get rid of bleeding. That's how we access the brain.
Okay, yeah. Put a little hatch in.
Yeah, in these cases, there's also sometimes what happens is when they come into the ER, if they're really sick like this, he was pretty sick. I mean, he had a traumatic brain injury. He had some swelling on his brain called cerebral edema. We sometimes put in something called a ventriculostomy, which we refer to as a bolt. So, like, if an ER doctor says to another doctor or neurosurgeon he needs a bolt, that means he has to get rid of the pressure. Just, you could think of it like Frankenstein, how they have a bolt on the side of his head.
Right.
We put a bolt in there to basically drill a hole so that we can relieve pressure. And that's a quick measure that we can do fairly quickly. And then the patient goes up to the OR and gets the craniectomy, where they take a piece of the skull off, allow for the swelling. In this case, I'm not sure if he just had brain swelling or if he had a subdural hematoma or different types of bleeding. There's different types of blood you can get inside your brain. And, you know, people don't realize that, the skull is a fixed structure, right? It's hard. The brain is soft and squishy. And if you get fluid inside there, like bleeding, there's no room for the pressure to go. And that increased intracranial pressure, the pressure inside the brain, is what makes people really sick. And that's why sometimes they need the craniectomy or the bolt to get rid of the pressure.
The bolt. Now, when you say bolt, why do you say bolt?
Like a bolt?
Think of like a big bolt that would like hold a... like a piece of a swing set together, like a big bolt.
Like a half
inch? They drill the bolt right through the skull.
And the bolt has some kind of a canal in it?
It has a canal in it, and then that relieves the pressure, and that's called the fancy
Jesus.
Name for it is a ventriculostomy. So sometimes, for whatever reason, they either don't want to or can't take the full skull off. So they drill a
little
hole.
When you say
hole.
Full skull, you right. mean what, like the whole top?
Like a
chunk?
If depending on where the injury is. So when you have head trauma, there's two types of head trauma. There's just a traumatic brain injury that, you know, I hit my head, I got knocked out, and I'm a little confused and maybe slurring my words and stuff, but uh-huh. there's no bleeding or swelling. And then there's the traumatic brain injury where you have intracranial bleeding or something called cerebral edema where the brain swells. And again, the skull is fixed, so there's nowhere for the brain or the blood to go. So it increases the pressure and then can start to herniate the brain. That's not good. If the brain starts going towards your neck, that is not a good situation. And what they do is they have to emergently either drill a hole in there to get rid of the blood and to get rid of the swelling.
Or take a piece out.
Or take a piece out.
When they take a piece out, does that push the brain out? Do you see some, like, bubble come out of your head?
It does. It sometimes bubbles out. And
that's unbelievable.
People, yeah. Yeah. And
gross.
And then eventually the idea is that you'll put they save that piece of skull to then sometimes put back on, or else they have to put on a synthetic piece of skull later on if you live, and then they can put it back on. But that saves your life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a problem in this case. He everybody comes into the ER. It's usually that they're having one of the worst days of their life, and it's interesting for me just doing this for more than 20 years that everybody that I see in these kinds of traumatic situations, if they just did one thing, Chaz, differently that day, you know, this guy, if he just doesn't do the backflip, he's perfectly fine.
Right.
He has a great wedding reception.
Exactly.
Everybody has fun.
Right.
Everybody has fun, and he ends up in the ER. And, you know, it's just if you just do one thing differently. There's no shortage of foolish acts. Unfortunately,
do you finish your reception? I don't know.
Dr. Ron Clark is on
with cake.
I have the rest of the story. We'll figure out if they stayed for cake
or did
they bring it to the ER.
Cool.
But it's interesting. I always think like, who was the first doctor that said, you know what? Let's try cutting the skull because he's going to die anyway.
He's throwing a bolt.
But let's try this and see if it works.
Yeah.
Yep. And he might have gotten a bolt. I mean, there'd be a high likelihood that he would have got a bolt first because the bolt is quick. They just drill a bolt, relieve the pressure, and then they take you up to the OR and they literally cut a piece of your skull out, and that's called a craniectomy. They take the skull off. They allow the pressure to go down. And then, obviously, he lived, although from looking at pictures, he's pretty debilitated. I don't know if he can move his right arm. If you look at the picture, if he can move his arm and stuff. And
then, it's horrible. She married him. It's like, till death do us part. It's
for
like,
better
or
worse.
Sickness is from
her. Yeah, she'll be taking care of him. And then, again, these patients with CBIs. They got to learn how to walk and talk.
They have to teach them how to eat.
Yep.
Teach them how to eat, all those things. Yeah. That's a lifelong commitment there.
Wow. You just married him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dr. Ron Clark is on. We're talking about this guy who did a backflip at his wedding and then just didn't land it right.
Yep.
All hell broke loose.
Only execution.
Yep. But I'm just picturing with this craniectomy that they just take the top of the skull off.
Yeah.
And then they look like characters from Mars Attacks.
Yep.
The brain comes out. Poof. Like
exactly.
Pop.
Right.
Popcorn.
Yep. And it can swell out. It can come out, and plus they got to get the bleeding stopped and stuff too. And depending on how bad the bleeding is, Chaz, depends on how big of a craniectomy I need to do. If you can do a little one, if it's a small area, if it's a larger area, you got to take a big chunk. Some people have like half their skull taken off and then put back on.
Now, what do you do with the piece of skull? Where does that go?
How do you keep that alive?
Yeah,
they save it. They put it in preservative and they save it sterily. So that they can put it back on. Sometimes they can, and then sometimes they can't, and people can have synthetic skull material get put back on.
There has to be somewhere because, you know, when you're working in a garage, you're like, all right, did you see where I put the starter?
We're at that point now in the process
where I put the starter back on.
Yeah, it's done by feet.
Where'd you put that starter?
Right.
Oh, that was a starter.
Oh, didn't know. Right. Hey, I like your ashtray.
you don't want to lose that piece.
That's a cool ashtray.
what material is that?
The piece of skull that comes out, I've heard sometimes people who have like been in an accident, they have it like kind of sewn in to their stomach.
Oh, yeah, I've read that.
So the living tissue will keep the piece of skull, the bone, alive so that they can use it again later. Does that still happen?
I'd be like, what did I eat?
Sometimes you can do that. I mean, that's a possibility. But usually they just keep it, and then, later on, once the swelling goes down, they're going to just put that piece back on. But again, a lot of people can get synthetic pieces too. So
that's cool.
They play football with it.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you doctors and scientists have figured out.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure there's trial and error. Like, that didn't work.
And there's a lot of head trauma. In the ER, there's a lot of head trauma between car accidents, falls, fights. It's a very common injury in this case, the backflip's not so common, but people falling and hitting their head is very, like a daily occurrence. I'm sewing somebody up who cracked their head open. And we usually staple them shut.
So Dr. Ron Clark is on. So this guy, Mike, was at his wedding reception, tried a backflip, slippery shoes, drinks on the floor, doesn't land it, screws himself up really bad, gets rushed to the hospital.
Yep.
They did an emergency surgery on him. They had to take his skull off and his brain swelled and put it back on. He was in a coma for a month.
Oh.
In Denver.
Oh.
His family.
Mile high.
Lives in Missouri. So, you know what kind of a nightmare that is.
Yep.
It's like, all right, he's hurt and in a coma and he might die, but we're over here.
Right. Oh, that's not who he is.
So Mike was in intensive care for a long time. He had to learn things like how to walk, talk, stand, eat.
Dance.
Can you imagine?
Yep.
Basically.
You're just like, I'm going to do a backflip.
Yep, all that.
And your whole life is changed in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a GoFundMe page set up and, you know, trying to deal with the medical bills and the transportation back and forth.
Dance lessons.
His bills will be in the millions, Jazz. I mean, the neuro-ICU stays are $10,000 a day.
Whoa.
I mean, you're talking the amount of, you know, if you have a traumatic brain injury like that where you're getting surgery, you end up in the ICU, you need multiple neurosurgical evaluations and just close monitoring, you're looking at, you know.
Or you park that wheelchair by the stairs.
See, you know,
Oh, geez, look what happened.
I thought it was bad when I was at my brother's wedding and I tried to break dance on a table. Right. This is after a lot of Jack Daniels, and the table went out, and I tore ligaments in my ankle. And, I was like, I thought that was stupid.
Yeah, this is why I don't dance.
I feel better now.
This is why I don't dance.
Yeah, lucky you didn't hit your head.
Yeah, really. Mike in New Haven, what happened?
Hey, how's it going? When we were kids, we were all hanging out at the West Haven High School, and my friend tried to impress a couple of girls with his bicycle to ride down that hill in between to come out by Jimmy's, and he...
Oh, wow.
He was going like 25, maybe down 30 down the hill, and he jumped the curb and ripped one of his nuts off when he came landing down.
Now, that's that's not a technical term.
Right.
So, he seemed testicle.
Yeah, he seemed quite testy, yes.
It's Friday.
We just want to make sure we're not talking about the bicycle.
I should have thought better than that.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
You just give it to him and say, here.
When he came down and landed and he went over the second curb over there in between where that Jimmy's is, that's when it ripped off and all he saw was blood all over. And I was like, oh. Now,
did it fly away from him, like land in a hole somewhere?
The girls were laughing at him, and they called him a bunch of names throughout the rest of the high school.
The poor guy.
That's what happens.
Right.
Did he pass out immediately? Because I'm hoping.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He hit the ground, and by the time we ran from where Turks is to where he was, almost near Jimmy's, he was out.
Yeah, they say on certain nights the moon is right. You can hear him still screaming.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, no, exactly. He was trying to look cool and ended up in the ER. Thank you, Mike.
I'll tell you what, the girls were, I mean, the cops were like trying to explain what he did, and I'm like, I explained it, and they were like, no way that happened. I'm like, everybody's seen it.
That's a handlebar injury. That's the handlebars that happens every time.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I talked to him not too long ago. And,
Mike, I'm going
to
rip your nut off. I got to go. Thank you, Mike.
You have any coffee?
you must have seen this a lot, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, we do get their handlebar injuries. That's another one where if the ER doc says to another doctor, oh, he had a handlebar injury, usually it's that you go flying over the handlebars and the handlebar either clips you in the groin area, or sometimes in the stomach, or ruptures your spleen or something like that. But it does happen. I actually had a patient a couple of years ago who actually fell out of a tree, and like a teenager patient, and on the way down, one of the branches caught his scrotum and actually opened it up right down the middle like a zipper. It's the only time that's happened where both of his testicles were outside of his scrotum, one on each side of his legs.
Like a bad cherry tree.
Still attached to the cord. Yep, exactly. Exactly. That's the only time that's happened where he split it right down the middle and went right up. I actually called one of my urologists, one of my friends, and he actually happened to be upstairs in the hospital, came right down and literally saw him and wheeled himself up to the OR. Said, we need to go now and just get it all washed out so it wouldn't get infected.
Like that bread that they put the buttermilk in the commercials? We split the loaf down the middle.
right down the middle.
Oh.
Like literally.
Right in the seam? Oh.
Yeah, that's a problem. When the paramedic comes up to you and taps you on the shoulder and says, Doc, you need to come in here right now. Usually it's something bad.
Say, did you get?
you can't make this stuff up.
That area is a bleeding area.
Yes,
it's like if you cut your forehead or your head, it's a bleeder.
Right.
That's there's a lot of blood over there.
Right.
Yep.
And just hopes and dreams, too.
Yeah.
If I clip it shaving, all of a sudden it looks like a massacre down there.
Yeah, you need a bigger Band-Aid.
Exactly. A lot of blood flow.
A lot of blood flow.
I like guys will make fun of each other. They'll beat up on each other. When they know there's an injury to another guy like this, everything stops.
We come together.
So, like, those girls were laughing. Mike's story, the girls were laughing. Mike wasn't laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Ron Clark is on. You have a couple of stories like this?
Yeah.
Trying to
look
cool, but ending up in the ER.
Yeah, so we have, you know, obviously with talking about cool people, a lot of times motorcyclists, you know, ultimate cool thing, racing down the road recently, going fast, racing somebody else, zipping by everybody, and they had a pre-agreed-upon finish line at one of the exits on the highway near the hospital. And just at the finish line, it was a tight race, evidently, I'm told. There was sand in the road, oops, and one of the bikes dumped. And when he dumped, he skid all the way down the road. The police officer that came in with him with the medics basically said he skidded on his back for about a quarter mile down the road on the highway.
Is what he said. Is what he said, yes.
Just one huge problem, Chaz, is that he was not wearing a shirt because he was trying to be cool racing his buddy. And, you know, he also broke his leg, too. But honestly, of the injuries that he had, the worst pain was the road rash. Because I'm pulling gravel out of his skin and, you know, rocks and whatever debris.
But that has to be more than just skin gone.
Yeah, they call
skin. It's down all the way down to the bone.
Yeah, they call them smear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have no problem with motorcycles, but, you know, you got to wear your helmet and you got to, you
got to wear a shirt.
You got to wear
leather jacket.
Leather jacket. Yep, sorry.
And stuff. Otherwise, I mean, and I see it all the time, you know, especially in the summertime. You see these guys with short sleeve shirts, no helmet, you know, zipping down the road. And again, I'm all about people doing what they want to do for themselves. But I look at that as this guy dumps his bike, I'm going to be seeing him in the ER. His head's going to be cracked open. He's going to have no skin on his back and his arms. You know, those kinds of things. You just got to make good decisions.
What's that like, Doc? Like, you, that's painstaking. Are you there with tweezers?
I am there with tweezers, scissors, whatever I need to get. I mean, there's people that have come in with literally, like, thousands of pieces of gravel inside their wounds. We got to wash all that out.
Yep.
I take it out with tweezers. The big pieces I can just take out with my fingers. The small little pieces.
With your fingers!
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to get all that gravel out of there because when it heals, you don't want it to be scarred in with the gravel there because that's an infection risk.
Yeah.
So, and literally.
What about a vacuum? Can you take a vacuum?
There's suction. We have a suction device that we can suck it out too. However, it can come out. And then what we do is afterwards we get an X-ray to see if we got it all out.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you don't. I got to go back in there and dig more. I mean, I give them morphine and they get a tetanus shot and they get ANSEF, which is an antibiotic and stuff. But yeah, it's a mess. Road rash, especially from motorcycles, is probably one of the most painful things that you can get. I mean, I've had biker guys who are gang guys who are, you know, tattooed out, getting fights every day, come in screaming when their arm is, you know, when the skin on their arm or their leg is ripped off from dumping their bike on the road.
Can you imagine that guy, how difficult it was to sleep, to do anything, shower for
a long time.
I mean, yeah, you sleep on your stomach, that's for sure.
I imagine he had like 0.2 seconds going over where he was like, this is going to be bad. And then that was
bad.
It. That was the only thought you could have.
Yeah.
And when you're going, you know, 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour on a bike, and just he literally, from what the bystander said, and EMS brought him in, and whenever, you know, the paramedics bring a patient in to me, they always give me a quick one, like a couple lines of, like, what happened. He's like, hey, Doc, he dumped his bike. He skipped down the road on 72, one of our highways. And just it happens like that, and then, you know, you get that image of him just skipping on his back all the way down the road, like literally going past cars with him just on his skin going down the road past other people.
Poor guy. You're doing 40, and here he comes.
Poor guy.
And he's doing 60, 70 right past you.
Wow.
I mean, remember, with the momentum, you're going to keep going until you stop, and you're going to have your mask going down the road and stuff, so... You know, just not, you know, trying to look cool, racing somebody, and just made a poor decision. Luckily, to be alive, but, just made a poor decision, which is half my day, Sal, Chaz, really. Like, half my day is spent with people who just either make poor decisions or just aren't thinking when they do something and don't think of the consequences.
Well, that's what this is all about.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to look cool and ended up in the ER.
Welcome to the show.
Dr. Ron Clark, thank you so much for coming on, and... we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully not at your work.
Right.
Here.
Exactly. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and author of Surviving the Emergency Room.